You should have heard an announcement that recording has started. So welcome everyone to November 2019 LHON Live with Andy Marks.
And Jessica Loomer.
There you go. Where each month we get together, talk about this month's hot topics in blind community, in the LHON community, in the UMDF community, and everything that we've been chatting about online. For anyone who doesn't have the opportunity to take advantage of all the hot topics on the Facebook group, we try each month to highlight the most interesting things that come up there, the things that people are commenting on the most. But if there's ever a topic you would like to make sure we discuss, you can always email us at lhonlive@gmail.com or just tag me or Jessica in any comment on Facebook. And we check that thoroughly, at least the day of LHON Live. I will tell you that much. So this month we have a battery of topics to get through that we're pretty excited about. So to kick things off, Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm keeping warm, even though I'm not supposed to talk about how cold I am right now, but Denver's pretty chilly. I think we're at like 28 degrees right now.
Okay. So you are officially colder than me at the moment, but you probably also have heat on. Maybe not.
That's true.
Okay. Well, that's okay. New York is still fun and exciting, and people are starting to play Christmas music, and my YouTube ads are all Christmassy now, the first week of November, which is a quick transition, but I'm, like, easing into those Christmas songs. I have, like, a couple that I'm allowed to play already, but anything that's really aggressively Christmas, I'm holding off for. And we'll talk about that more next month. But for now, there's only, like, two songs I've played, and I consider them pretty tame.
Wait, what are they? I feel like we need to know.
What do you need? Okay, I have played like a Christmas song each night before I go to sleep. Last night, it was Thankful Heart from a Muppet Christmas Carol, which is the credit song, ooh, if you're familiar. While Michael Keaton, is that his name? Michael Caine. Michael Caine, not Michael Keaton. Not Batman, Michael Caine, the older gentleman, dances around singing. He can't really sing well, but the Muppets can sing well. And then the song I played the night before that was We Wish You the Merriest by Sinatra featuring Bing Crosby and many other people, which is just a fun song. It has, I basically, when I told you the title, I told you like 60% of the words in the song. but it's pretty cheerful, but it's not aggressive like the Christmas Can-Can or something silly like that. That's like what I consider obnoxious if I play it before November or like, I guess, December. I also am not allowing myself to wear things like Christmas plaid or anything like that yet, because I'll do that in December. But I'm also embarrassed.
Deal, fair.
My wardrobe is very small these days. I still keep like a couple shirts that I can only wear like a single month. Anyway, that's more than people want to know about my music taste and my wardrobe. So let's get into a few topics here. First and foremost, I have at the top of the list here something that is interesting to me professionally, but also on a personal level, and I think this is the same for you, so I want to make sure we have time for this by putting it here at the top. There was a big ruling in the Supreme Court, I think, I don't know where the court was, I believe it's Supreme Court, on this case, so Domino's versus some plaintiff, on the accessibility of their website. I will give my synopsis of the court case, and then you can, as probably a better expert on it, correct me where I'm wrong, but the court case in general was a plaintiff, I believe it was a gentleman, blind person who complained that the Domino's pizza ordering service online was not accessible. And this got lots of buzz because this ruling would set a precedent that would go far beyond pizza ordering services. While even that's an important thing, and being able to order food online is obviously really, really important because the services are moving away from even answering their phone calls. So that's important, but this has broader implications, especially once you get into small businesses who, according to some of the ruling, which spoiler alert, they ruled in favor of the plaintiff saying that Domino's website has to maintain the same ADA compliance online that they're required to maintain in their brick and mortar location, which now means that every website, in theory, I'll say in theory, but every website has to have that same compliance which is very far reaching and means that basically if your websites aren't proficient in that way, they can be shut down. That's the way I understand it. I'm not the smartest person on this, but what do you know and what's your take?
Yes, it's actually also same, totally interesting for me professionally and personally. So obviously personal for obvious reasons, but so my new role is actually an accessibility architect. So I'm actually, I mean, my opportunities were made for me because there was these sort of situations. So our ultimate goal of my entire team is to make sure our company's website, mobile app, can you pay your bill? Can you access your services? In one-to-one experience. So no matter what any person can do, no matter what disability you have, gosh, mobility, cognitive, blind, visually impaired, you name it, to make sure that everyone can have the same experience. And that's actually what my professional position is. And so it's really interesting to kind of obviously see the movement. The movement's incredible, obviously, for all of us, just to kind of make it a one-to-one experience, which is kind of the design term that everyone, sighted or not sighted or with a disability or not, that everyone has an equal experience. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely been the buzz around my office as we were all kind of talking about it, but it's hard too, because so much has been built, gosh, 2, 3, 4 years ago where things weren't accessible. So it's literally completely, yeah, I mean, and to think about the websites or even mobile apps and how fast they change, there's so much that's not accessible because, I mean, platforms are consistently changing, meaning web and mobile and Android to iOS or Apple or whatever. And everything's changing so fast, it's like a revolving door to be able to keep up with it to make sure your app is consistently accessible for whatever person, whatever platform they're on all the time. So it's a huge undertaking.
Yeah, I wonder about the like implications for small businesses or personal people, because I mean, we're at a point right now where if you listen to any podcast or any YouTube channel, you're going to hear advertisements for things like Wix.com or Squarespace.com, these things that are like website development things. And obviously a lot of those have built-in accessibility, but what those things are taking advantage of is the fact that everyone has a personal website now and everyone is selling things from their Etsy shop, or they have their Pinterest account or these different kinds of things. And as we require, I mean, even let's step outside of our blind lives for a second. And my friends who are in digital marketing would tell you that like most small businesses have horrible websites for sighted users. They just do. Like they're horrible websites because these people are business owners and they're focusing on that instead of the website. Now requiring them to invest in this accessibility stuff, wonder about the implications there. And even being personally affected by this, I understand the justification or the argument against this kind of regulation as well.
Yeah, I think it's even some of my friends will have this conversation because the stat 1 in 5 people have a disability. And that's a really high stat to think about, like, gosh, I mean, think of 5 people around you and one out of 5 people have some sort of disability, whether it's learning or cognitive, but just to kind of take, I mean, like little stuff and like what you're looking at a website and how you can think about for a blind user, but then how do you look at it for somebody that has a cognitive disability? And there's so much to think about. And yeah, as a small business owner, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I do want to like calibrate some of what we're saying here because I totally understand. I think some of this is preparing us for a world where it matters more. I think the ruling could have come down either way right now and it would be okay. But I do think 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, things are very, very different because right now you quoted a stat, 20% of people in the US have a disability. Yes, from what we know, that's true. That said, if you look at people under the age of 65, that number is much smaller. The vast majority of people who have any kind of disability are older. And those people, regardless of whether they have their disability or not, would not be accessing these companies online. So the case could be made that like of the people who are actually trying to access these websites, we're in single digits easily. The percentage of people who have trouble accessing these websites of the people who try to, which is the same way like unemployment is calculated among those people who are trying to get a job, which is the way I think we need to calculate this. That said,
right.
As we look 20 years in the future, people who are 45 are then going to be 65. And those people at that point in time grew up with the internet, or, and then people who are 20 are going to be 65, and those people grew up with smartphones, and these kinds of things. So I think some of this ruling is correctly taking care of things before they become an issue. But it's still, like, I understand the nuances to it, and it's interesting. Any last minute thoughts on that one?
No, I mean, it's also interesting to kind of, a lot of my friends have personal businesses and they're small business owners, and they turn to me and they're like, so what do I need to know? And it's such a weighted question, because how much do they need to know if their husband owns a construction company and they have a random website? You know, like, when does it get down to those little websites, and like, when does that kind of make an effect and have a ripple effect versus, like, obviously a large company like I work for or you work for? But it's interesting to kind of see how it's creating a huge awareness, which is also the bonus.
And I mean, I also think it's really important for these things to be thought about early on in the process of these companies, because it's really hard to make things accessible after the fact. Like, when you talk about people who have made websites that have things like carousels or have, like, other very inaccessible things, trying to make that accessible after it's been made is hard, as opposed to, I mean, it's the same thing about, hey, making Zoom text compatible with your PC as opposed to using VoiceOver on your phone. One of those is a much better process because it was built in at the onset. And I think anything we can do to make things, to force things to be accessible, or at least consider it at the beginning, is where we go there.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, we could totally translate that into, like, you know, what we learn kind of in the early stages of LHON onset, you know, like what we kind of learn and teach ourselves in the beginning, kind of obviously make better implications along the way. You know, the good ripple effect.
I second all of that. let's move on to something fun else here. I saw someone comment on the group a few weeks ago asking the right way when you're calling or ordering tickets or purchasing tickets for some kind of live event, whether it be a sporting event or a music event or a theater show or comedy. What is the right way to phrase the question around getting a closer seat, because you are handicapped, blind, disabled, have low vision, whatever it may be? And is that something people are comfortable with? Is that something people do a lot? I'm gonna let you answer this one first.
It's a really good question. It's always hard to kind of phrase, because I feel like the hardest part is people don't know, what does low vision mean? What is, like, I feel like you have to kind of explain yourself and what you're looking for and how, why you're looking for that accommodation. I feel like it's okay to explain yourself in more depth than I probably normally would, because I'm looking for a different service, like a closer seat for a show. But actually there's one of our great LHON listeners, maybe she's on the call, Cindy, was actually at a Broadway show, and there was an app that actually did audio description of the Broadway show that she was at, which I thought was really cool that they're starting to kind of have apps and things like that. I haven't been often. Have you been to a show lately?
I go to things all the time. So yeah, I can speak to this at length. So, I mean, when it comes to sporting events and stadium comedy, my first advice is just say something. Like, frankly, the minute you start saying something, whatever it is, the way you phrase it, whatever the way you're most comfortable with, they may have a policy that takes advantage of that. Now, there are better ways to phrase it to get something, even if they don't have a policy. But what I really wish for everyone is take advantage of the policy. Maybe you don't get special treatment, which would be special treatment, in my opinion, is getting something over and above the policy. But everyone should get at least what the policy is, meaning you should make your condition known if you're comfortable with that, and see what they do. And if they do nothing, then in my mind, that's fine. At least you said something. The last thing I want to have happen is you have not said anything and you get there and your spouse or significant other tells you, hey, there's a blind person. Look, they're walking all the way up to the front and they get to sit somewhere special because we didn't say anything. And if it's something you're not comfortable with, I've also found, like, I'm more comfortable, even though I'm a pretty comfortable person, I prefer it sometimes when I ask someone else to say something, because then it's not me asking for something and that perception is removed. It's my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my friend or my parent saying, hey, like, just so you know, my someone I'm coming with in our party is actually legally blind, actually blind, has low vision, actually can't see very well. And I just wanted to ask you, do you have any kind of special seating or discounted close-up seats for someone in a situation like that? We just like to ask because sometimes theaters offer something like that. Phrase it in a way that, like, you're explaining that, like, you've been places where they've offered things like that, and you just wanted to ask the question. That's the way we typically do it. I've had things offered to me at theater shows. I've had things, I mean, when I went to a comedy show, yes, they'll put you in a seat that maybe for handicapped people with wheelchairs or something, and you're next to, like, a wheelchair area. But more often than not, you're saving a buck or two, and you're taking advantage of something that I think you should be, because, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you aren't in the first couple rows in my condition, you might as well not be in the theater. Like, I might as well be at home listening to the cast recording of Hamilton instead of being in the 20th row. I also bring binoculars in all of those cases too. I think having my cane, holding someone's arm, even all these kinds of things that aren't necessary, just provide an amount of validity to what I'm saying, and I'm okay with it. The other thing I'd add about all of these shows, even if they don't give you something when you're purchasing those tickets, sometimes there's like a house manager or someone there that's taking tickets. If you're comfortable, say something to them when you get there. And sometimes they will say, hey, yeah, there may actually be an empty seat up in front. We may be able to move you there. That happened to me last time I went to a Broadway show. Actually, it was off Broadway. For anyone who cares, I saw Scotland, PA. It's a parody of Macbeth based on a cult movie from a while ago. But they actually moved me and one other person in my party up to the front and said, hey, we may have to move you at intermission, but we're going to have you sit up here for now. And then we ended up being able to sit there through the entire thing. That's something I recommend to sighted people too. Like, frankly, if you are sighted and you make it through the first half of a show and maybe you have a seat that's really bad, go up to a house manager halfway through the show and say, hey, like, not trying to be awful here. This is what my girlfriend does. Not trying to be rude here, but, like, I have a seat right now that's in the very back of the house. I realize it's a seat I purchased, but if there are seats up closer, like, I'd love to maybe move. And lots of times those are people who are really nice people. They work in the arts and they will move you up closer for the second half. You sat in the back for the first half, and maybe they'll give you a better experience in the second half. So those are my pieces of advice.
That's great ideas. I would not even think twice to think about it. And I think that's a really good advice that I should definitely check out next time. Plus, I think I'm more apt knowing that information. I think I'd be more inclined to go to a show and things like that. Because, yeah, if I'm not in the first couple rows, I might as well, yeah, be on a podcast and listen to it on my couch, you know. But I think there's a good opportunity there for sure.
Let's see what else we have here on this month's topic. Let's talk about smart appliances here for a sec. I know someone posted some article basically listing out appliances that have been made quote unquote smart in the same way that phones have become smartphones and they connect to the internet. These are devices like your Instapot that people talk about connecting to your phone via Bluetooth, things like a smart speaker, or things that attach to a smart speaker. They may be lamps, they could be microwaves, they could be your lights in your house, it could be your air conditioning, it could be your oven. I'm looking at my oven and wondering if there are smart ovens. That seems weird. Smart washers and dryers, I don't know of those things too much. I know there are like smart refrigerators that'll tell you what you're missing and those kinds of things that people, I mean, that's like the butt of lots of like late night jokes and those kinds of things, but these are the kinds of things that I think could be useful for someone like us. Because I never know what's in my refrigerator ever. And then my parents come visit and they're like, oh my gosh, like, I'm gonna eat some of your whatever if you don't mind. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, please don't. I love that. I just didn't know I had it. So yes, that's how I talk to my parents. By the way, happy birthday, Mom. Yes, today is my
happy birthday, Mrs. Marks.
Yes. So what are your thoughts? Are you a user of smart appliances or smart devices in your home? And why or why not?
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. I know people kind of have like a little bit of that creep factor. Like it's a little bit weird because everyone's listening all the time. But I don't say anything that interesting to not listen to me. So I don't think I'm too amusing on that. But I actually the smart refrigerator sounds great, because I think I actually put a reminder when I'm at the grocery store, whenever I'm getting milk or yogurt or whatever, I'll set a reminder and tell myself, like, remind me on what, November 12th, that my yogurt expires today. But it'd be cool if a smart refrigerator could then tell me, like, Jessica, your yogurt has expired. Like, you know, like, if it could tell me what's in there, could it tell me when it expires as well? I think that's cool. Another thing is to have some sort of, like, smart appliances where I don't have to, like, bust out my phone to then be able to press the up and down buttons, because I have no worse fear than hitting the self-clean button on my stove instead of the start button, because that sounds all, I've done it before.
Yeah.
And then I was supposed to go to a cookie party. Everything seemed great. I hit self-clean instead of bake, and those cookies were in there for hours, and it was all bad. I was at my parents' house. They loved it. Some of those, like, safe barriers that would be kind of nice to not have to, like, be in full panic when I'm trying just to cook some pizza.
Yeah, and at the same time, I realize, like, the biggest barrier for sighted people for having smart devices, I'd say even larger than the creep factor, is just, like, the setup. And the setup is even harder for us. So, like, I mean, there are things that I have. So, like, right now in my house, I have two smart speaker Echo Dots that I'm so impressed I haven't activated. I'm talking and saying all of this stuff. I haven't said her name yet. But these two smart Echo Dots, that one was a gift and one I got for something through work. And then I have a robot vacuum that is not smart enabled. It could be hooked up to my Echoes, but I haven't. We always activate it manually by just pushing the button, and then it runs around my 600 square foot apartment, and then it goes, and then we send it back. But that's where, like, the only reason we probably don't have it set up, and we could program it to run while I'm away at work and these kinds of things, which is probably dangerous because I probably have stuff on the floor, but I haven't set that up because it sounds hard and it works just fine the way it is now. I don't know. That's where I land on a lot of that.
Cause I actually have two of those speakers as well. And it's cool because when you can, like, set them up to be on a group, and then you can say, like, play such and such in the whole house or whatever, and then they'll play together, which is kind of nice if you want to, like, I don't know, run from one part of the room to the other.
Is that the mood? Yeah,
our,
I know,
small
what you
apartment. but another great thing is to kind of point out is affordability. I feel like they're getting better. Like, personal shout out to Amazon. Watch out for their Black Friday deals, because the Dots can get pretty cheap. And by cheap I mean like $18.
I bought my laptop. They give them away with, like, you if you sign up for anything, they'll give you a Dot.
Yeah, so, like, it's nice to be able to have that sort of accessibility, but make sure it's affordable, which is awesome.
Yes. Now, audio quality, not what it is for a tower by any means, but it is kind of cool to just have them everywhere for nothing. And, I mean, I'll go ahead and shout out, even though I'm being recorded, for Google as well. I mean, right now, if you have a Spotify account, for anyone who has a Spotify account, you can, even if you've had the account a long time, you can call and get a free Google Home Mini, which is the equivalent to an Echo Dot. So both of those are really trying to just win market share at this point. And then they'll worry about bringing the price to what it needs to be. But they're charging you way less than what they cost right now.
Interesting.
So, yep, I'm being recorded, so I'm not going to say anything more about that.
I will take 5 seconds for a pit stop of a blind moment. I'm sitting on my floor in front of my fireplace, and I, like, could randomly feel something that I was like, gosh,
you're,
is there an animal here that's,
oh,
maybe pooped? No, I just found a pretzel on my floor, and I'm like, oh, story of a blind girl's life, like, finding random food. Like, where did that even come from? And do I have a wrap? Day in the life.
Yeah, my coworkers love to, like, the middle of, I had this one coworker who I've given free rein, like, hey, like, and I've given this to everyone in my office, like, hey, if you're ever around someone and someone asks about my vision, like, my disability is not a secret. You can tell people whenever you want, because frankly, I'd prefer you tell them, because they can more honestly ask a question than if I told them. Well, whenever one person starts a meeting and she goes around and, like, introduces people, she'll be like, oh, blah, blah, and, like, this is Andy, and Andy, tell your blueberry story. And, like, that's how she gets really excited. And she loves this one story where, like, oh my gosh, on, like, a Tuesday, I was eating an acai bowl. and a blueberry fell out, and I knew it had fallen out, but my floors here in the New York area, I'm in an ancient building, and my floors are not level at all. I'm talking like a 20 to 30 degree like grade on my floors. So like this blueberry rolled to some unknown place. And in my mind, I just thought, oh, that blueberry is like gone until someone else comes here. So like a week later, I had a friend over and I was like, hey, like there's a blueberry somewhere. And we found it together. One of my coworkers thinks that story is like hilarious. But I'd just be like, oh my gosh, there's a blueberry somewhere. And let's just take a note for whenever someone else comes over.
Right. But yeah. So pretzels. Yeah.
I guess moral of the story is don't eat spherical food. Maybe. I don't know.
Nothing that can roll. Yeah. No. Yes.
Cut all of your blueberries in half. Okay. One last topic here before, happy to hear any topics of yours, but these are what I pulled together. You and I have chatted a little bit lately and I have this experience all the time. And this is probably the thing it's one of the things that frustrates me the most about being blind, is a situation where it happens most at work, but it could happen at the grocery store and it's happened any number of places. And it's something that I've gotten more comfortable with over the past 5 or 6 years, but it's certainly the thing that still irks me a lot. And this is a situation where, hey, I'm in a situation with somebody, they interact with me. I say, hey, I'm not sure how long this interaction is going to be. So I don't go to the trouble of like, hey, who are you early on in this conversation? But then it becomes, and I'm not even sure if I know them, so I don't ask that earlier on. But then we get into a conversation, 5 minutes in, it's clear that I'm supposed to know who they are, but I haven't decided who they are yet. And it's also been too long, and I can't now go back and be like, hey, so can you remind me who you are? Because I don't know, because I don't see your face anymore, and you don't have a unique enough body shape for me to know. And also, you can't tell people that they do have a unique enough body shape because then they're concerned, or that your hair is very unique, or these kinds of things. And so there's that whole, like, how, once you're into a conversation, you're stuck at this point, how do you at that point figure out who someone is? There are times where I do weird things where I'll be like, oh my gosh, like you, I haven't seen you in such a long time. I guess the last time I saw you was, and then pause and see if they answer. And then maybe, you know, but like, there are lots of things that are like, no, it's an awful idea. There are lots of things I do like that, but like I've learned, as I'll call them tips and tricks, but really they don't work. Like, so lots of times I'll leave a meeting or I'll like have a couple of people I'm really close to. I'm like, hey, who's that person in that red shirt over there? Or like, do you know who this person is? Or like, can you give me any details about this person, even if you don't know who they are, where I can maybe like go look up in our like org structure online and show you pictures of people and you tell me which of these people it could be. Because it's weird to, once you're in a conversation, ask who someone is. So solve my problem, Jessica.
Oh, no, I have this often as well. And especially in a new office, I feel like I'm on one floor with all the execs on my floor and they'll all, we'll be in the kitchen and they're like, hi, Jessica, how are you doing? And I just play it cool. I'm like, oh my gosh, so great to see you. And I just like play it off. And then I literally don't run, but I walk quickly back to us. Same thing, coworker. I'm like, who's that over there? She's got blonde hair. And I try to, but the guys are what are hard for me to differentiate because back to whole shape thing. The girls kind of all have different hair, so I can kind of tell, and everyone kind of has a different pitch of a voice. But there's like three guys that all sound the same to me, and one of them is my boss's boss's boss. And he's okay, like 3 rows from me, and I really should like, you know, have my A game when he walks by. But, I mean, he's cool. He's great. But, he'll come up to me and I'll just like, I guess it's probably like, we should take it as a bonus. Like we talk to him, like we talk to everybody and never like the whole boss thing. I don't get nervous with, cause I don't even know it's him. And
oh my gosh. I
don't know.
I didn't even mention this. I met my CEO and had no idea who he was and spoke for like 10 minutes. We were going to like walking to like a big conference thing. And I was walking next to someone else, and this person walks up, and our CEO is not a tall person. He's like my height or a touch shorter than me, and I'm not a tall person. And he came up and started talking hockey with somebody. And like, I don't know hockey, but I have, because we're walking outside and going to this conference, and I was like, hey, we're going to be walking on the street. I don't really know where we're going. I had my cane under my arm, folded up though, which is how I walk with it a lot of the time. Not useful like that, okay. But I had it underneath. And like, then something was said, someone said something like, hey, so Don this, and Don is our CEO. And as far as I know, I don't know any other Don at Audible. So like in my mind, I'm like start sweating inside my head and drop my cane and make it really clear. Like, hey, like, by the way, like I didn't, that's why I was like this, because of this. And it probably made some kind of impression on him. I don't know what kind, but he is a great person and I don't think he held it against me, but anyway. But I have the same kind of thing. I have gotten to the point where the one thing I would tell people, when people ask me because I'm blind, or they'll say, hey, is there anything special that I can like ever do for you? I will say two things. One, if we're going to a meeting where you're presenting a deck of any kind and you have the ability to send it to me, email it to me beforehand, do so. But even more important than that, if you see me in the office, say hey and tell me what your name is every time.
Yeah.
And like there are people who don't do that. My boss doesn't do that. My one other coworker who's on my team doesn't do that. But everyone else, like I at least have told to do that. And it's weird to remind them to do that, but it's not weird in that moment to, once you have that opportunity, take advantage of that opportunity to say, hey, tell me your name a lot. It's never weird to introduce yourself again. There are some people who say, hey, Andy, it's Steve, or hey, Andy, it's Scott. And I would know who that was without them saying it. But you can't tell the people that, hey, I would know who you are without saying it, because your voice isn't distinct enough or whatever. You need to just blanket rule everyone, tell me who you are. And it's probably going to make some people feel strange, because even though they realize why they're doing it to you, they feel like you haven't connected with them in the same way. And if they don't do it, don't hold it against them. But for others, it's the most helpful thing that I've found to say to people.
Yeah, no, I think that's really helpful. And that's, I do the exact same thing. I ask them to just kind of just share who you are. I'm like, I don't see your, and I always say, I'm like, I don't see your face. So if you could just pass on who you are, that would be great. Even in passing, like, good morning, Jessica. Hey, it's so-and-so. I'll be like, morning. And it's, I think it's probably more of a personal connection, because I feel like I know who that person is, and then I can start to get the gist. But actually, a lot of my coworkers do that, except for my boss's boss, which I still, mystery when he pops in. But yeah, I think that's really helpful. And also, like, weird things, like when, if we'll all be walking to a meeting together, I'll have them say, like, or I'll ask them, tell me where the elevator is, or because there's like a bank of elevators, they'll be like, second one on the left, we're opening, or we're going this way or something. So they'll be very descriptive, which is helpful. I mean, sometimes I don't need it, and sometimes I do. It depends if it's crowded or whatever. But I always ask for those kind of visual cues or audio cues. Because, yeah, sometimes I have my cane, and sometimes I can't carry my laptop and my coffee cup, and so I can't use my cane because I need my coffee. You know, that sort of thing.
There you go. No, I hear you.
Priorities.
So I'm now going to, are there any other topics you want to discuss?
So here's a fun story that there's definitely between you and other people on this call that could give me some advice on. So obviously, like, the snow is like a whole new thing for me since I've lived in Arizona, like lost vision in Arizona. So the only thing I really had to deal with was, I think, palm trees or rattlesnakes, which both sound kind of a little aggressive, but not as bad. As about a week, palm trees, like those, you know, like palm tree leaves when they come off the palm tree, like big chunks.
Yeah, okay. You said palm trees and then rattlesnakes and said they're both aggressive. And I didn't think palm trees were aggressive, but okay, continue.
But when they're so big, you have to like leapfrog them and like get around them, but not as aggressive as a rattlesnake. But so about, gosh, probably 2-3 weeks ago, Denver got quite a bit of snow. Like, I actually had a snow day and was told to stay home from work that day, given I just like work from home. So the tricky thing is that I knew it was going to snow. So I have boots, I have the whole thing. But when I walked outside, it just looked like it was flurrying. So to me, it was just like, all right, like, this is a new job and it's flurrying. You got to like make your moves because I can walk to work. But by the time I really got on the street, it was pretty bad. So I would almost call it whiteout. I couldn't see a thing. And I couldn't tell where I was trying to find the sidewalk to the street to be able to kind of at least gauge. I ended up going in the street and kind of using my cane to trail the sidewalk so I would know where to go.
Yep.
Given at this point, like, there's literally no cars on the road because most people have stayed home because no one's crazy like me. So I was the only one, so it's not like I was going to get, like, sideswiped by a car. But snow advice. So what do you do when you're in like a full-on whiteout? So the vision that we obviously have with LH2N, use it what you got, but I think I lost some in that whiteout. Well, at that moment in that whiteout.
Yeah, no, you take me back to when I was in your situation and I had never lived in a snowy place. And Chris, who is on the call tonight, talked about how snow is like the worst time of the year because of LHON, and maybe Lisa shared a similar perspective. So we'll definitely get their perspective, and they may have better perspectives than mine. I would first and foremost, I think you're in a pretty like commercial-ish or busy area. There are a few things that you benefit from being there. First and foremost, I would say like your work is probably understanding of you first paying attention to safety when it comes to going to work. So if you think things are bad, stay home, take care of yourself, be in contact with your boss. That's what my boss would tell me. Secondarily, learn where things are shoveled or plowed, and maybe you have a longer route to work, but if maybe it's in a safer, more shoveled, more plowed area, that you can get there more easily. So where I am, I know like I'm in a very busy area where I live and where I work. So the rule is within like 12 hours of snow coming down, it has to be shoveled away. So all of these streets, even after like 2 feet of snow, they're shoveled pretty quickly. I can usually get to work via public transportation well before anyone in an actual car could get to work. So those kinds of things are nice to take advantage of as well. The first thing I'd say is like have the right clothing. I, living in New York where I do a lot of walking outside, I really wear shoes that aren't waterproof anymore because inevitably I'm going to end up walking in a puddle. It's going to happen. And so spring, summer, winter, fall, I'm, if I can, wearing waterproof shoes. I also am more particular on the weather. So I have a pair of white sneakers that I'm really proud of that I don't wear if it's going to, there's a chance of raining any day. But I wear boots in the fall and winter that are waterproof. And in the summer, I wear these like brown leather sneakers that are waterproof as well. And I recommend waterproof shoes because like you or like me, you may step in a puddle. That said, I think trailing the street with your cane is a tactic and it may work well for you. Following other people's footsteps, taking advantage of any pedestrian that's near you, using your cane like a measuring stick, like a dipstick, if you will, to understand how deep snow is a tactic you can use just to understand, are you about
that's a good idea.
3 feet into the snow? If you're walking off a curb and those kinds of things, I mean, that's a benefit that even if you were a sighted person, you wouldn't have an advantage or you would find use for a cane. That's really all I have though. And like some of the advice I gave wasn't even relevant to your question. It's just more about like being in a weathered area where you're a pedestrian more often. But yeah, we can't all be in San Diego.
Right. Okay. No, that was fantastic advice. The dipstick thing is actually a genius kind of thing because you don't know, like, especially because I cut part of my, where the parking lot is to get to a sidewalk just to kind of save a couple steps. And it's always a little questionable. But yeah, so I think I was just, I don't know, probably just dumb at that point. Like I couldn't tell what was ahead of me and just, I was already halfway and I was just like, well, I guess I'm going for it. My boss was just like, totally understanding, like, why are you here and how are we going to get you home sort of thing. Like, oh gosh. Luckily one of my running guides actually works in my building and took me home like 3 hours later. So that was good. But, yeah, I've got the boots. I got the jacket, I got the gear. I am learning the waterproof shoe thing, pretty quickly in my first month, but yeah, it's an interesting adventure. So I wanted to pick your brain on winter travel.
Yeah, no, happy to help. With that, any last thing before we kind of get corrections from the audience on things that we said that were incorrect?
I do have a shameless plug, which I probably will do next month as well. I can't help it. The California International Marathon's coming up. It's actually 4.5 weeks away. And we have a pretty good LHON representation. And we have a new person, Joe. He's actually going to be running the California International Marathon and he's new to that race. So shout out to him, as he races CIM for the first time. So super excited that there's a new LH1 person.
That's awesome. I'm going to give a couple of plugs as well. Next week's LHO and live call is at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Arizona in December 4th. And then the LHO and conference this just a few weeks ago, or maybe in the past week, hotel reservations opened up for the LHO and conference in, it's in Arizona this year, Phoenix. Is that right, Jessica?
Yeah, super excited.
The end of June. So get your reservations now. So before they kind of fill up. But that is still, as I said, 7 months away. So you got a little bit of time, but want to let you know those reservations are open now for the hotel. So lots of things still coming out with that. With that, so we're going to move on to another piece of this call. I'm going to keep the recording on and open up the call. Let's stay on the topic of these five things, and I'll list them right before I open up the call. Feedback that you have or things you'd like to make sure are covered in the recording as they relate to these five topics. After that, I will kind of close this up, turn off the recording, and I'll leave it on for as long as people like to continue networking, giving us feedback on the call, things that you'd like us to change, and those types of things. But for now, I want to make sure to get recorded any responses that people have to what we had to say about the five topics. Again, five topics we covered this month: the ruling in the Domino's case, how to deal with live event seating in our condition, smart appliances, recognizing people in and outside of the office, and how to say things appropriately in that case, and any winter weather. So think on that for just a second. I'll get everything unmuted for us. And as always, thanks for being here, folks. All right. Everyone's here and we can hear everyone now, and I'm not having any background noise. So the great line topic is yours.
Amazing topic.
Thank you so much.
Is that Kimberly? Yes. I go to events like concerts all the time, and telling the people that you have disabilities is a great thing to do. So amazing. I didn't hear the domino things, but I'll find that out later. And the smart appliances. I would love a smart oven, because that's the one thing I can't see at all. So somebody else can go.
Yeah, any other thoughts from anyone? And I don't want to force anyone to speak now. I just wanted to make sure if anyone had anything they wanted to add on any of those topics, they had a chance to chime in before we turn the recording off. But as always, we will turn the recording off shortly, and you have a chance to speak then as well.
This is Cindy, and I wanted to comment, but oh, go ahead if somebody else is saying something.
Cindy, go ahead. I heard you first.
Okay, so on the first topic about the website, I'm a small business owner, and when I heard this news, I was kind of, I don't know, it hit me funny, because I do understand the aspect of needing websites to be accessible, but as a small business owner, it's expensive to have anything done about your website rewriting. And so, it's hard for me to imagine that somebody who's visually impaired actually needs to access a website of an art gallery, but I mean, I guess that adds something to it if there were photo descriptions on there. I mean, we don't sell artwork to people who are visually impaired very often. I mean, and so I'm thinking on an as-needed basis, it seems like, I don't know, to me it seems like on that type of thing, it should be a website where somebody actually needs to use the website. Yes, that makes sense.
It's a heavy lift for marginal gain, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was an interesting topic. And then on the smart stuff, I ended up dropped off over at my son's house just the other day, and I didn't realize nobody was home. He was at work. I was on the porch, and next thing I know, you know, he's got one of these doorbells where he says, "Hey, Mom," and he's at work, and he can unlock the front door from work, and so he let me in. And then I walked in, and, you know, the house is dark and quiet, and I said, turn some music on, and it just starts playing music. I said, turn the lights on, and all the lights came on, and it was awesome, because, you know, he's got it all wired for smart home stuff, and so that was kind of cool. You know, gave me some ideas about things that would be nice. And we've gotten one of those doorbells, and it's really nice if somebody approaches the door from the inside of the house, or you don't even have to be home, you can see somebody's at your door and you can turn on the intercom and speak to them. And I can't remember the other topics, but there was stuff I wanted to say on each thing. They're all good topics.
Thanks so much. If you know that you're the person with the TV on in the background, it's not super loud, but if you can mute yourself by pressing *7, I believe, or *6. Jessica, you may know better than me. I think it's the same for mute and unmute. What did you have to press?
*6.
*6. Okay, so *6. If you know you're the one with the TV on, that'd be awesome. It sounds like. But it's not so bad, so I'm going to leave everyone open for now.
Okay, well, this is Lisa from Canada, so I have to comment on a few things. First of all, I love the setup that you guys have now. I think it's really interesting and quite comical.
Thank you.
I like the
Oh, my gosh, sorry. Lisa, sorry.
Did you just mute me, Andy?
I'm trying to mute someone else, and then I muted you instead. I apologize. Keep going.
Okay, I know where I stand. I actually, Andy, you had told me that for concerts and special events that you could ask for special seating. I've never done that, usually because we're being recorded, right?
You are being recorded right now. So you just hold for other comments. Yep.
Okay. Usually the person who is purchasing the tickets has a problem saying that I have a vision disability, but you mean to tell me that when I saw Adam Levine that I probably could have got very front row seats and backstage passes if I would have said that?
Let's just for the sake of making you feel good, let you know that nothing would have changed at all. You would have had no different experience had anyone said anything. That said, I still would encourage you to always say something.
Okay. And then I need to comment on the snow thing. Well, first of all,
yes.
Jessica, I commend you for even going out there your first time, because it is very, 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 very difficult when it snows. I mean, I walk my dog every single day in the wintertime and even through blizzards and whatnot. And sometimes it is very hard. I would suggest probably not the best idea to go on the road. I know you were using your cane and there wasn't cars, but usually sidewalks are plowed. And if you can kind of differentiate between the color of a sidewalk and the whiteness, you can kind of maneuver a little bit better. If at any time you are out somewhere and it's really totally white, snowing, even if I used a cane and you're to measure it, like you said, Andy, which is kind of a neat idea, I'd probably lose the cane at times. That's how deep some of the snow is here, but if at any time, and I've never had to do this yet, touch wood, but if you ever get turned around, and I have gotten turned around, but I usually go walk the same places, but don't ever be afraid to knock on somebody's door and say, hey, I'm a little turned around, can you help me get back to wherever? Some people are more than willing to help you. Some people not, or if you're ever not sure whereabouts you are and it's total whiteout, have your phone with you and call that person and just say, I don't know where I am. I'm on my normal walk that I normally go. Can you come get me? And I've done that once because I did get turned around and my son came and got me.
I'd say when it comes to your safety, like everyone, just as a rule of thumb, swallow your pride. If you think you're in an unsafe situation and you think there's someone you can call to get help or go up to a door and knock on a door. I've had friends of mine, like this is the kind of thing where like if someone has the opportunity to help a blind person, you have to understand that it isn't them helping you as much. I almost wish that I have people or friends of mine all the time come up and tell me that, hey, I helped a blind person today, like made my day. And I'm like, I wish all of my friends who didn't have the, like, didn't like asking for help got to hear you say how much it made your day to help that person. Yeah. Like, it is really allowing other people, but like you giving them a favor, doing a favor for them, allowing people to help you. And I really wish we all recognize that at times, because you are not an imposition on these people asking for something like that, especially when it comes to your safety. We all need to view it as something that we're allowing them to help us with, and it means as much to them as it does to us.
I like that.
Really good point.
Was there anything else you want to say, Lisa, in the beginning? You were saying something about how funny I was. I think you used the word comical. I don't know what it was.
Is that before or after you muted me?
It was as I was muting you.
No, I just think the topics were great, and, you know, I like the new format. It's a lot of fun.
I'm glad you enjoy it. We're continuing to try to keep things fresh here. For those who haven't been here for every variation of LHON Live, we're on the 4th, I believe, at the moment. So don't fall in love with this format, because it will at some point go away. Who knows? Any other responses to any of the topics or things that you think people need to hear related to those? And just in just a moment, I will unmute the call for everyone and stop the recording so we can visit about other things. But I'll give it a couple minutes for others on this topic, these topics.
This is Wayne from Florida. But on concerts, I've been to a lot of concerts and got the handicapped seating. And most of the time is for wheelchair accessibility. But so I've been in the front row. I've been up on the second level, been different places, depends where they're set up. But and I always take binoculars and monocular. And one of the worst and best seats was for Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And we were in the very front row, and you're allowed to take somebody with you. And he couldn't believe it. He loved it because he could see the expressions on their face. But me, it's too close for my binocular.
Yeah.
But, you know, without my binoculars, it just wouldn't work. So I'd rather been 4, 5, 6 rows back. But it just depends. And but all the times I went, never been questioned once. You know, they never ask you for ID or anything like that about your vision. And also about the recognizing people. You know, I've said it many times to people, and I've heard it many times, but it's just nice to hear it again, you know, about somebody being skinny, somebody being tall, somebody being bald, somebody being fat. Recognizing their voice, you know, but if you're that average Joe, average size, you know, the voice sounds like everybody else. But, you know, we all know that.
Yes. Just to be clear, Wayne, are you endorsing asking for handicapped seats when you go to live events?
Yes, but I mean, you can always check the website and see where they are. Most of the time they show you,
yep,
you know, where they are. But
cool.
It was cool being front row for CSN. I could stick my foot out and touch the stage, but I still would hold the binocular up every now and then. But
yep. Awesome. Thanks, Wayne. Someone else was speaking when Wayne first spoke.
Cindy.
she forgot.
I don't know if this relates to the topics, but it, you know, you were talking about the sitting up close or whatever. But so, audio description on the television, does that relate enough to this, or should I just hold that for after the recording?
No, please. You can share it now. That's great.
Okay. So that TV show, This Is Us, has a new character on this season who's blind, and I had heard that there was audio description added to that TV show, and we weren't receiving it here. And so I called the TV station because I heard it has to do with, you know, they have to broadcast that. It's not just automatically on the TV show. So I called the station, and I kept calling and calling and calling, and I kept talking to different people, and nobody seemed like they understood what I was talking about. And when we were watching the show last night, just, you know, there it was. The audio description came on. And then when we got home from work today, this guy from the TV station called me, and as soon as he said who he was, and he said his name, I said, guess what? And he goes, I already know what. And he goes, we figured out how to turn the audio description on that TV show. So that was really exciting to have persevered with something I thought they were just doing wrong. And sure enough, they hadn't been broadcasting it. So that was exciting.
That's awesome. Big win.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Any other last minute thoughts? I'll give one other person that'd like to respond, and then we'll move on. Well, it is the top of the hour, so I will go ahead, wrap us up here on the recording piece. Remind everyone that next month's call, December 2019, will be December 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Same phone number, same Zoom information, same everything. So you can get here the same way you did tonight, or the same way you do if you listen to this recording later from the link online. We always post the information in the Facebook group, and the email also goes out. So you can reach out to Andy Marks, that's me, or Jessica Loomer, the person who also hosted this evening call. Yep, there she is. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to make sure we cover next month, as always, we scan the Facebook group for the things that people are talking about to talk about here each month. But we look forward to it, and we'll look forward to next month. With that, I'm going to stop the recording. Thank you all so much.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.